And, you know, when we come together at the gathering, 1,200 blokes is just quite, this year, 1,200 last year, is quite some sound. And just to, you know, reinforce the fact that we, at CBM, we have a strict no dancing and no flags policy. Strictly enforced.
No tanneries.
Strictly enforced, because, you know. In fact, last year we sort of outlined the policy. At which point, one of our team moved slowly across the platform and was introduced as Brian, who is an ex Royal Marine and now has been a police sniper for the last 20 years, and was you know, at the side of the platform. Anyone who showed dancing tendencies, he was going to take them out. To laugh, all right, don't worry. Although we did move the bloke from the front who was waving a flag once. That was actually quite funny. Okay, so what did you discover? Where are you with God? Can just try to move back to where we are. Where were we half an hour ago? We're going to continue using the Psalms as a basis for our thoughts, and we're going to look at what's known as the Psalms of Ascents. Psalms 120 to about 135. Great selection of short psalms that cover so much of our experience of walking the journey, or pilgrimage, or our operational tour, our deployment, whatever you want to call it, with God. These psalms are believed to have been sung by pilgrims on the way up to Jerusalem for great feasts, for the annual feasts, but they reflect an honesty about where they are as they're going up to these great gatherings, where they are in everyday life as they're coming together. So they're not just tourists, they're reflecting where they're at. They know where they are. They know the pressures that are on them. But they're coming together to worship together, to be together, to be equipped, encouraged and built up. They're honest, they're raw, and they're full of praise and worship to Jesus, to God, in this case, of course. And where do they start? They start where we started this morning, with honesty. Psalm 120. I'm in trouble. I cry to God, desperate for an answer. They're on their way up, and they're desperate for an answer. Where are we? Desperate for an answer. They're on this pilgrimage, they're on the journey, and they're desperate for God. So just cast your minds back. What is it you are desperate for God to do? What are you desperate for God to answer? What have you been banging on at Jesus for ages and he's not answered? What is that? Is it to reveal himself to you more? Is it to give you tell you what he wants next? Is it to give you courage to do something? What is it? What did you discover in those few brief minutes, or what have you known for ages? I'm going to throw it open for a second here now. Does anyone want, at this point, to be bold enough to say what God spoke to them about? No pressure. If you want to, feel that's appropriate or something for the group, just think about that, and in a second I'll give you an opportunity. No pressure at all. If not, then there's opportunity this afternoon for you to come and share that with Paul and the ministry team and work some stuff through. What God spoke to us about, we must deal with. We want to deal with it. Okay? If you want to share some of that with us all in a minute, that's fine. But one other thing I want to encourage you all to do at this stage, thinking about some of that stuff and journeying together, maybe some stuff that you've held in your own heart, you've not talked about with anybody. As we go out from here, what we would love you to do is have hooked up with one or maybe two other people to covenant, to pray together, to be in touch with each other as often or not as often as you want. So as you're making conversation, as you're getting to know people, just think, is this someone that I want to journey with over the next year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Is this someone I want to journey with and get to know on a deeper level? That'd be great if we could pick up on that. And we'll pick up on that a little bit later on in the weekend. These psalms were always sung together as well. So they knew the issues they were facing. These were psalms of as they were coming up to Jerusalem. And just bearing that in mind, is there anything anyone feels that God said to them would be appropriate for this, for the whole group? Opportunity. John?
Something I've struggled with quite a lot is getting quite angry at God for maybe not speaking to me. Something I kind of yearning for it. It's not happening. But so what I've realised is God's always speaking, regardless of where you are or what you're doing. And it's just I need to open my ears. Rather than God speaking to me, it's more I've got to listen.
Brilliant. Thank you, Lord.
And that I had the same prayer experience as him, so kind of corroboration. In as much as I had a kind of turbulent time initially, thinking about material things, then a sofa. And then I kind of Creed brought me back into line, and that gave me joy. And I came to see that it was through my own senses and reasoning, fallible that they are, that God was communicating with me through, you know, his word and a time of prayer. And what's your name?
Jonty.
Yeah, I'm Adrian. It was the same deal. You know, this business about
brilliant
awareness. And despite my senses and reasoning and all their crazy things that they get up to, God was communicating because he is sovereign. And that's cool. That gave me joy, and I was able to share with Kevin here. And we had a great time.
Brilliant.
When you spoke in the beginning, you talked about discipleship, pilgrimage, and what God spoke to me when we left. The parable of the talent. So you took me into Matthew 25, and you spoke things down about how we find excuses not to do what we're supposed to do. So we stick with what we've been given. But once we're born, it gives us the opportunities for us to go out there and multiply what we have. But you always find a way just to sit down.
Brilliant.
Polish this.
Yeah, I want to follow. Brilliant, thank you.
I was reflecting on something that I heard last summer, but sort of put it in come back to part. I know the last sort of month or so I've been reflecting on the theory of that at the end of our life, God's not going to just judge us on what we've done and what we've built up, but also on what we've torn down in our lives. And the whole thing about God being number one, and anything that's not, anything that we put in that place, that actually God's going to judge us on how we torn it down. And the question I was asking myself, I think, what the middle time reflection is, you know, what is in that place in my life? And I think, you know, coming from church leadership background, it's, for me, it's how I put almost myself in that position. It's really easy to rely on your own ability, your own innate ability, but, you know, you do these things day in, day out. And actually, have I almost made myself, my own ability, an idol which I have in God's place? And do I need to tear that down and throw myself back on his strength?
Hold on to that thought. We'll be touching on that in a few minutes. Thank you. Thank you all. Anyone else, anything burning?
Yeah, I mean, this morning when we just went out for that 15 minutes, I was wandering around in the garden, and I just asked him if he was to give me a sign. And I don't know if anyone else noticed it, but I walked in the garden on the right-hand side in that direction, and this is a wonderful picture came. All those trees that are knitted together, all the branches, twisted together. And when you mentioned disciples, I thought, well, that's binding together. And then, because I love trees anyway, there's those seeds of Lebanon planted smack bang in the middle. Season 11, but 9, the temple, and that represents Jesus. This picture came binding together with brothers, with Jesus in the centre. And then when you mention the Psalms, I think so, and it said how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity.
That's Sunday morning's talk, all right? Don't go there.
just a couple more,
and then we need to crack
on. Just an observation, and partly from a short conversation I had over coffee. And partly the logic of coming away on this and calling it the R&R weekend was just the we are so busy in our lives, wherever we are, as husbands, as fathers, as Navy, Army, Airmen, whatever, that actually to have the time and space to really listen to God is so important. And I think that 15 minutes before coffee, you know, someone came up and reflected, you know, God's really on my case because I've stopped and listened for the first time in quite a while. And God, over the last few months for me, and like I say, it's partly the logic behind some of the thinking behind the weekend, putting the weekend together, is are we regularly stopping and listening to God? Because he wants to talk to us. So it's good to do that.
Right. One more, and we need to move on.
Yeah, when in the morning you were talking about where are you? Like, when I was meditating upon that, God took me to the book of Genesis when he came into the garden and asking Adam, calling out Adam, where are you? It's not that God didn't know where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to take a connection to himself and see him. Where he was.
Yeah.
Sometimes in life we all need to do that.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's easy to digress, it's easy to wander around and come out of the will of God. And then we are out of the will of God, but we are still praying, say, God speak. Sometimes you have to reflect, check, and then go back. God wanted Adam to realize that he has come out of the will of God.
Great.
Yeah, so many of the times we just do come out.
Absolutely.
Yes. And you don't Brilliant. Allow Jesus to lead us.
Brilliant. Thank you. Great. So, we have to admit, we have to admit to where we are. The preacher in Ecclesiastes, you know, I love Ecclesiastes, it's great. He didn't get it, did he? I don't know how many of you have read Ecclesiastes. We won't read it all now because it's pretty depressing, let's be honest. But everything was meaningless, life had no point, you know, and we're sort of there. But after he'd been through all this negativity, he came to a great conclusion. And the conclusion in the message is this. It says, fear God, do what he tells you, and that's it. Brilliant. You can't get any better than that, can you? Fear God, do what he tells you, that's it. And that was the conclusion he came to after pages and pages and pages and pages of dripping and manking about what was going on and not getting it. So, there comes, when we get to this point, now, we're at this point, and we're sat here, now comes the risk. We want to be serious about this. There's a risk associated with it. Stepping out of our comfort zone. Some of the stuff we've been talking about. Throw some examples out there. I don't know what God said to you. Maybe your mates don't actually know that you're a Christian. Maybe your mates don't know you're actually serious about this Jesus stuff. Maybe they know you go to church on a Sunday morning, but do they know that you're a Christian? Came back to that journeying thing. You're afraid. Maybe are you afraid of what they're going to say? Do you look at pornography on the computer, on your mobile? Is that something that's struggling? Are you struggling with that? Horrendous stats on pornography. I can almost guarantee that there's probably at least two people in this room statistically who are looking at porn to one degree or another. Statistically, that's just the way it is within the church. Yeah, I remember once in our church, I wrote the word pornography on the news sheet. Because we were going to do a men's talk on just face porn and blokes and young people. And actually, if you're not facing it, I can almost guarantee if you've got kids, they're facing it. So we need to know we're serious about this. But I got dragged off over the coals afterwards by a couple of ladies because I'd written the word pornography on the church notice. There is nobody here with a problem with that. Yes, there is. And the reason we were doing it, because at least two blokes in the church had come to me and said they've got a problem, we need to address it. We need to get real about that. I'll talk about that more in the margins. If you've got money snags, you're in debt. This is a weekend for getting real. I was talking to a bloke the other day who I knew had money snags. Knew he was facing issues. I was thinking, I don't know, 30k, you know, it's a lot of money. 180k, this bloke's got no income. He's not, it's just, you know, cap won't touch him. Why has he got himself into that issue? I mean, he's an extreme case. Why? Because he didn't have the gumption, the guts to take a risk early on, stand up and declare himself to have snags and get help. Okay? There's an element of risk taking. Are you drinking more than you should? I was filming you all in the bar last night. There is a secret cam. There's a candy cam. I've got all your records. I'll be watching tonight. No, but are you? You know? It's a huge problem for us in the military as well, particularly in the military. We need to face up to the realities of the culture that we're in. And we are not immune to these problems. We've got to encourage each other. You know, we ran a house group in our home, which John, for goodness knows how many years now. I drink, not a lot, but I do. It's not a problem for me. However, we never, ever in that house group had alcohol. Never. Not even Christmas meals, nothing. Because we knew that some of those youngsters, some of those people had issues or had issues and all that sort of thing. So we need to be wise about what we're doing. But we also need to be honest about stuff like porn, money, stuff that is real. Got to step up to the plate. We've got to acknowledge this stuff. And whatever it may be, it takes courage to deal with it. And it's a risk. This fella took a risk. He got away with it. He walked away from it. Okay? So, we need to take risks. But guys, we need to think about the risk we're taking. We need to talk to others about that. So if we're stepping out like this guy with debt, if he's stepping out of that debt, talk to someone. Don't try and do it on your own. okay, some of this stuff that we're taking risks on.
I think there might be one other issue as well that guys might be struggling, and I know I struggle with at various points, is ambition, career, that actually that's become all-consuming, the point where actually maybe that's God's place and you ask prayer as well. So,
yeah, that's in 3 pages time.
You come and call and all the rest of it, right? No.
But what comes as a crucial part of this, absolutely crucial, we see it coming through in the Psalms, we see it coming through in the Scripture, we hear it in the songs that we sung, it's forgiveness. Forgiveness. We've got to take a risk that God's going to forgive us. And actually, very often, we haven't forgiven other people. That's crucial. We need to work on that. And I know I've had conversations with people here who've had to, some major things they've had to give in other people, which affected their lives before they could move on. And it's been humbling to certainly journey with one guy here who I know has worked on that massively, and it's been a real encouragement to me on that. But as we look at forgiveness, as we seek forgiveness, we ask God to deal with this stuff. You know, if we're watching porn, yeah, we've got to sort it out. We've got to get forgiveness from God. We've got to seek that forgiveness, and we've got to make steps to move away from pornography. We've got to make steps to move away from blind ambition. And if we claim that we experience a shared life with Jesus and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we experience a shared life with one another, and that's important, as the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin. If we claim we're free of sin, if we claim that we're free from going against what God wants for us, going against his will, going contrary to what God wants for us on this journey, if we make a claim like that, as it says in the Message, it's errant nonsense. Brilliant. It's just nonsense. It's rubbish. We cannot claim that. We cannot claim that we're perfect, that we got it right. We just can't do it. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, make a clean breast of the fact that we're struggling with porn. I don't believe I said that. Rewind. So if we make, you know, if we are open and honest about that, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself and he'll move us on. Element of risk. It's going to be hard work. You're not just going to get rid of £178,000 debt overnight, but he will deal with it. He'll forgive us, set us on the path and get us going again. And there's no doubt about that. Psalm 130. Dipping in here, at the end of Psalm 130, wait and watch for God. With God's arrival, when God comes into your life, comes love. With God's arrival comes, the Message says, generous redemption. What a great phrase. Generous redemption. No doubt about it. He will redeem Israel. He will buy back Israel from captivity to sin. As we regroup, as we come back, focus, beginning to want more, beginning to want to move out the power of God's Spirit, he will buy us back from captivity to sin. We need to be brought back. He's done it on the cross. He's done it on the cross. We've just got to claim that in our lives on a daily basis. There's no doubt about it. He'll give us generous redemption. Carl, my boss and head of CVM, some of you know, was at a curry night that he didn't want to be at. I told a couple of you this story last night. And he was at curry night he didn't want to be at. There's 20 blokes in a curry house in Barrow-on-Soar. No idea where that is. And he didn't either. He just knew it was there. There was a pub about 4 houses. And he turned up at this curry night. And he didn't want to speak. But he did the curry. Stood up 10 minutes. He thought, oh, quick 10 minutes. Typical curry. Quick 10 minutes. Curry on the road back home. Or curry 10 minutes on the road back home. Stood up. And all the way through the meal, this bloke had been sat opposite. Bald. Covered in tattoos. All the way down his arms. Piercing. Not a, you know, a bit of a interesting character, shall we say. He hadn't said anything to Carl. He hadn't said anything to anybody. Just sat there, glaring. So Carl got up, did his 10 minutes, sat down, thought, that's it, I'm off. And the bloke looked at him and he said,
what?
Carl said, yeah. What? What was that all about? And Carl said, some mumble, something. Shut up, shut up. So Carl thought, I've got to get out of this. This is awful. He didn't really, for once, he didn't know what to say, what to do with this particular bloke. So he went to the bar, Carl, and he stood at the bar, and this guy came up to him and he said, can your Jesus, interesting phrase, your Jesus forgive a Nazi who gassed Jews in the Second World War? Carl said, yes. He said, can he forgive me? I'm a general in the British neo-Nazi movement. Carl said, yes. bloke went and sat down, didn't say another word. Turned out that this bloke was being, he wanted to come move out, he wanted to come out of this thing. One of the guys on our team, a guy called Paul Gask, he's a ex-copper, he now works with people who have the Hoven office, are trying to sort of bring back into normal society with all sorts of organised crime and all this sort of stuff. And this guy was in this programme. And Gasky was his handler, if you like. And Gasky had brought him to this curry night in Barrow-on-Soar, where he met Carl. The following day, this guy, overnight, couldn't sleep. Carl had a phone call from Gasky the following day, saying he came to faith this morning. And he walked into a church on the Saturday morning. There's only one church open in Barrow-on-Soar, which was a Methodist church. Can you imagine this Methodist minister was in there? he was preparing his talk for Sunday morning. This bloke walked in and says, "Oh, can you tell me about Jesus?" And he did, led him to faith. And incredible forgiveness. And I can tell you more stories about this guy. But I just want to, one tweet. He put a tweet out a few weeks ago. It said, "Only Jesus can tame the terrorist within." And this is from a known UK member of a UK terrorist organisation. "Only Jesus can tame the terrorist within. Generous redemption. God wants us to know that, to experience that, and to move on. Doesn't want us to wallow in the fact that we got a problem with porn or money or anything like that. Wants us to pick ourselves up and move on." Those of you in the Navy at action stations, you'll know we have a thing called the command huddle. It's a great, great thing. You wouldn't know because you were probably asleep somewhere. A command huddle where we regrouped. The command team came together. We're in the ops room. We're all patting each other on the back. And they're loving in the ops room. But the key players come together. Everyone comes together just to focus, to get an idea of where we're at. What damage have we taken? What's the threat? What's gone on in the past? Right. What are we going to do to deal with it? What are our priorities? Where are we going? What's the continuing threat? And how now, right, we've done that, we've been honest, we've been real, actually, we no longer have the gun available to us, or whatever it may be. Therefore, the reality is, till it's fixed, right now, we can't go and do naval gunfire support. There's no point going and sitting on the gun line and not being able to shoot. Because the gun's stuff, and we know it's stuff. If you know you've got a problem with something, don't put yourself in a position where you're going to have that snag. If you know you've got a problem with alcohol, you know, there's ways of dealing with that. There's ways of dealing with it. Lead you through some of those, I'm sure. But you need to prioritise, come together, talk it through, crack on with your own goals, tasks and visions. I would have loved to have been in the command huddle for this operation. Brilliant. We've got to be real. We've got to be honest. Where do you go? That was a feed of chutney. And actually, sometimes we need to come together as blokes and go, "My life's a feed of chutney. It's rubbish. It's pants. I ain't doing what God wants me to do." But actually, next time, we want to make sure the water's firing correctly. We want to find out what went wrong. But we've got to get this right. Because next time, someone's life is going to depend on it. It won't be an exercise. And our lives depend on us journeying with God. Our lives depend on that. The lives of our oppos depend on that. The spiritual life of other Christians in the military depend on us doing our part, journeying with him, working with him, encouraging our chaplains, all that stuff. If we're journeying with God, it's going to have an effect, and we ain't going to make the same mistake twice, hopefully. But where does our help come from? Where does it come from? Where we're going there in a minute, hang on. But first off, Psalm 123. I'd like to think now, Psalm 123 is great, okay? Well, they're all great. Some are greater than others. Do you want me to... Yeah, sorry, I'm 23. Yeah. The end of Psalm 23, the message, says, "We've been kicked around long enough. Kicked in the teeth by complacent rich men. Kicked when we're down by arrogant brutes." The passage I read yesterday is talking about the church standing up. About us, as men of God, standing up. We've been kicked in the teeth for too long. We've been kicked around by arrogant brutes. We've not been allowed to be the people we are by them. And it's time, if we're at this point, fellas, it's time for us to stand up and say, I ain't going to be kicked around anymore. We are not going to be kicked around anymore. It's time, I'm looking to God, time to stand up. We can feel sorry for ourselves, and all that. I remember once I was feeling sorry for myself on board, been away for just the third 6 month deployment in 2.5 years. Come to the end of it, I was completely threaders. I'd had enough. I wanted to wrap it in. And I wrote a letter to a friend, a Christian friend. Actually, I wrote basically saying, I'm the only one, woe is me, no one's listening to me, God's not with me, everyone's giving me grief, it's all rubbish. But I'm still here, you know, hanging on, and I'm wonderful. But reality was, I just had enough. What I wanted from him was, you poor dear, you're doing really well. Keep going. Keep hanging on. You're all right. What I got back was a letter which said, just shut up and get on with it. Which actually was the right thing. And sometimes we have to get to that point where actually we have to man up more about this. Put behind us. Seek forgiveness. Acknowledge that forgiveness. Claim that forgiveness from Jesus for stuff that we've done wrong, stuff that we haven't done, stuff that we know we should be doing, and start to work around all that and man up. Psalms 121, 124, 125, read them at your leisure, all speak about the fact that when we were down, when we were in that distant place, when we were away from him, when we felt we were hanging on by our fingertips, when that we felt that he was watching from the sidelines, they taught us phrases like, God was for us. God was actually still there. God did not abandon us. He didn't thin out. It doesn't say thin out, but he didn't thin out on us. He didn't. We did. We lost trust. That's where we're at. So we say sorry. We apologise. We repent. We look and we see possibly us. You got it wrong. Not God. And God was there all the time. And it's now time to look for our help, to move us on, to move us forward. We're coming out, we're on the road, the pilgrims are on their road to Jerusalem, and they're looking for help. Psalm 121, probably the best known psalm from these Psalms of Ascent. I look up to the mountains, does my strength come from mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains. He won't let you stumble, your guardian God. That song this morning we sang, our guardian, brilliant, and it's here in the Psalms. Our guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. Where does my help come from? Doesn't come from the mountains. This thing of idols that Rhett mentioned, and we've already touched on some of them. But what an idol effectively for us, I think, simply is something that gets in the way of God. Something you put in place of God. Something you look to. It could be anything. It could be ambition. It could be pornography. It could be your kids. It could be your kids' ambitions. It could be you're more interested in putting your time and effort into them than anything else, to the detriment of anything else. Now, obviously, there's a balance in that. Of course there is. It might be your 2.8 i4 Capri B-Reg. I don't know. It could be. It could be your guitars. It could be. I don't know anybody who's got too many guitars and maybe needs to sell some. I just can't think of anyone. It could be your VW camper van. It could be. What is taking the place of God in your life? Yeah. We've got to. Where are we looking for our help? Where are we looking for our support? And as we come to this point of regrouping and moving on, God is where we look for. God is where we've got to look up. We've got to look up, but not to the mountains. We've got to look beyond the mountains and look to God. He will not let us down. And then these wonderful promises as we journey on, that he's not going to leave us. Of course stuff's going to come your way. Of course illness is going to come. You know, dear old Sam Lawrence, you know, miscarriage, his wife this week. It's going to happen. We know that. But it's not going to shake us. It's not going to knock us if we're looking to God for our source of strength and help. We can't avoid it. I don't think verse 7, which says, you know, in the NIV, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. In the message is, God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. Now, I don't believe, and there may be probably greater theologians here than I. No, maybe there might be greater theologians. Yeah. There are greater theologians here than I. But for me, I look at this quite simplistically. You might have noticed. God guards us from every kind of evil, not hurt. God's watching our very life. We can't avoid illness. But what this, to me, is saying is like Romans 6. Romans 6, I hope you all know it, should do. I should as well, which is why I'm turning it up. I don't know. I got the wrong verse, haven't I? Yeah, that'll do.
We know that our old self is crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we might no longer be slaves.
Yeah, no, I've got that wrong. I'm looking, guys, I can't remember the verse off the top of my head, I should do. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 8, thank you. I wrote 6, thanks. It's in my brain. It's all right. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I knew the bit, I just got the wrong verse. Thank you. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. At the end, verse 37. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present, future, or any powers, height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we regroup, we begin to take stock of where we are and where we're going. That harm's going to come, struggles are going to come, challenges are going to come, but nothing, nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we're journeying, if we're walking with him, nothing will separate us from that. We need to deal with the past, get ready to crack on with the journey, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love. It's moving forward from this point on, facing up to where we are, journeying together, and then we start to see happen. On the next session, we're going to look at some guidance, some instructions, some stuff that God gives us as individuals and as a team, as a group, to help us on our journey. Some audits called orders. And we'll be dealing with trust, fear, God, trust God, holding in his rightful place, God, worship God on our journey. We're doing that this afternoon.